With Mother's Day just around the corner, are you thinking about something truly special for your mama? I am. And let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? So here is how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email, and these can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or record her voice. And then mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And then guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. You get to preserve her voice and her stories for your family. I mean, imagine you're discovering stories about her youth, her adventures, the challenges that she had to overcome in life, the way that you two connect and relate, and also the way her grandkids will relate to her. I mean, this book becomes a legacy and something that you and your future generations can truly treasure forever. I mean, your mom's given you a lifetime of stories, so this is your chance to give her a way to share them. And not only am I creating one for my mom now for Mother's Day, but for my dad's birthday, as my dad is turning 80 this year, and I like to gift him with sentimental gifts. You know, he's gifted my family and I so many treasured moments. So I wanted to create something for us to collect these memories and for my future kids, for them to know my father's voice. So beautiful, sentimental, easy to use. Let me emphasize, easy to use. And you can truly create one for anyone. Your mom, your dad, your bestie, maybe even you. So check out mylifeinabook.com and use code MAGIC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com and use code MAGIC for 10% off today.
I just want to put that out there that you don't have to be 110% perfect. It is really, really impossible. You would have to be living off grid in the forest, growing your own fibers for your clothing. You have your own compost heap. You are growing all your own food. You are getting your own water. You are doing everything yourself. That is almost pretty much impossible. We're all perfectly imperfect people. The striving for perfection in our society makes you sick. It'll make you anxious. It'll make you depressed. And when you fully acknowledge that you just can never be perfect and that you should just embrace being imperfect, it really helps. So I find with my eco anxiety, I can only do the best I can do in the moment that I am doing something. From Montreal, Quebec, or like out in the country in Quebec.
That's right. I knew you were Canadian. Yeah. You sound a little Canadian, but like, yes, but also there's something that there's a particular, I don't know how to pinpoint it, but there's like a particular essence that all Canadians have. It's like a vibrancy that is so kind and so sweet.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. My goodness. Thank you so much. That's so nice.
Yeah. And I just love your vibe. I love your personality. I love your lifestyle. I love your family. I love it all. So I'm really excited.
Thank you so much. You're too kind. Oh my God.
Oh my gosh. Well, do you feel grounded and centered?
I feel pretty energetic today, to be honest. But
hell yeah.
Could you give me 1 second? Because my dog wants to go outside and I'm going to bring her outside. So I will be back in like 2 minutes. Okay.
Take your sorry. Time. Don't be sorry.
Okay. I'm back. I'm so sorry about that.
Again, don't be sorry. Plus, I know you're a mama and you've got kids, you got dogs. So if any time during this podcast you need to take a pause for them, 100% understand.
I have my husband. He is now outside with the kids and the dog.
Aw, your husband's so great. That's amazing.
Okay. I just let me catch my breath.
Yes. Catch your breath. I love the excitement though. I love the energy.
Thank you. I'm really energetic usually. So I'm ready. I'm good to go.
You are. All right. Well, I'd love to first begin by, you know, hearing, for those that don't know who you are, hearing about your journey from your health journey, which is very inspiring, to living a more conscious lifestyle, which ultimately expanded your awareness on how to better help Mama Earth and live a zero waste lifestyle.
Okay, so I am Amber Allen. I am the Fairly Local Vegan on YouTube and on Instagram. I'm also an author, so I not only make YouTube videos, I do books. And I've already completed my first book, so that came out last
week. That's right, congrats.
Thank you so much. That was over 160 pages of recipes. All of them can be done in a low-waste way, and all of them are plant-based and vegan. And most of them, almost all of them, actually all of them, yes, all of them are gluten-free, except for one, which can be made with regular wheat flour, but I have a gluten-free version of it as well in the book. So I just want to put that out there. And right now I am working on my second book, which is all about being a zero waste family. And it includes all my tips and all my low waste ideas and thoughts. And I am putting so much of me into this book, and it should be out by December or before December, because I'm currently editing it now. It's very tedious. Mm-hmm. So a lot of me is in this book, and it's filled with advice and ideas and just the state of our world as it is now and what we can do to help it. So that's currently what I'm doing right now. And oh my goodness, what you wanted to talk about my health.
Yes, your health journey. Yes.
So I found veganism in, oh my goodness, it has been 13 years I have been vegan now. So 13 years ago, I became a vegan. I was almost 18 when I became a vegan. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Was that before or after you found out about your chronic disease, celiac?
It was around the same time. So I started getting stomach pain, and I didn't know what was the cause of it. And I was diagnosed with celiac disease at 21. And it's kind of weird. So the severe stomach pain I have has continued, and I found out rather recently that I have Crohn's disease. And so there's a bunch of testing I'm going through with that, because they don't know if it's like 110% really bad Crohn's disease, or if I have something as well on top of that. So I'm undergoing like testing throughout the last 2 years, almost nonstop testing for different things. And so it's been a very, very long journey, a very weird journey. Yeah. But before I found veganism, I was having severe stomach pain, and it does help it to be vegan.
Mm-hmm.
I was vegetarian before that as well. I've been vegetarian since the age of 12.
Wow.
And,
yeah,
and no one else in my family is vegetarian or vegan. I'm just like the black sheep of the family, I guess.
Same. I feel you. Yeah, there's a very, very amazing reason why you are so energetic, even though you happen to have these chronic diseases. And that's why I find you so inspiring whenever I see you. It's because you live this very conscious lifestyle, which helps you maintain. I mean, you're a mother. You have a lot going on. You got your golden book, which honestly, you're like the go-to person when it comes to zero waste and low waste for myself. So the fact that you are doing all of this on top of having like a chronic health issue, I just want to honor you for that.
Well, thank you so much. It takes work. Sometimes to all the other people out there who have a chronic disease, it is hard sometimes to get out of bed. And I understand that. I understand that 110%. It is hard to live a life where you just only have so many spoons, hashtag spoonie life. Look it up if you don't know what I'm talking about. It's called spoon life or spoonies. You only have so much energy, and you can only delegate so much energy to certain things in your life. And so I do have my days where I am super tired, and it is super hard to get out of bed, but I try my best every single day. And for some reason, I don't know why, but I am able to like pull from something and just keep going. And I don't know how I do it. I honestly don't know how I do it, but I just keep going. I don't stop.
Well, it sounds like you allow yourself the balance. Like if you do really need that rest, you give yourself that rest, and somehow magically you pull that energy, because honestly, you're very aligned and in tune. So it doesn't surprise
me. Thank you. I try to ground myself every day. I go out into my garden. I like earthing. Mm-hmm. So I like walking as many places as possible barefoot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's how I stay connected. A lot of people talk to me about how it's weird that I don't have shoes on a lot of the time on my Instagram or in my videos. I just don't like wearing shoes. And I just have never liked wearing shoes, to be honest. Even when I was a kid, I ran around barefoot. It just makes me feel good. So why not do it?
Because you know. Mm. And honestly, intuitively, perhaps, I don't know when the disease really started to rise, but maybe somehow you kind of knew as a child, like you needed to do what you needed to do in order to balance your body's equilibrium. So you know, not a lot of people, I mean, there are people, but not everybody is diagnosed with a chronic disease. So they wear their rubber soles and they feel maybe fine, though it would be best for them to, you know, ground.
Yeah.
But you, because of, you know, your history and yeah, just being super in tune with Mama Earth and how to best feed your soul, like that does not surprise me that you walk around barefoot nearly all the time. I love that. And that you, do you allow your kids to too?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. All the time. And when we go somewhere, let's say they're wearing shoes and we go to the beach or we go to a playground, they're like, Mommy, can we take off our shoes now? And I'm like, sure. As long as the ground's pretty clean, you know?
Yeah.
But like, I love being barefoot. My kids love being barefoot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we like to be free as much as possible.
Same. Exactly. It's like just that freedom. And honestly, who cares? To be honest, I think that people that might be judging it are slightly just jealous.
Oh my goodness.
Doing it too.
I really think that people get overly worried about certain things or don't want to leave, I guess, the mainstream way of thinking. Yeah. They think that shoes are law or something. But it's just, I don't know, as long as it's a safe situation, you can be barefoot. You can be barefoot in your backyard. It is okay to get dirty feet. You can wash them if you want. But to be honest, like I walk outside throughout the day and walk back in. And so, yeah, I have to sweep my floors and clean them once in a while. But like I go in and out, so do my kids. And we have dirty feet until nighttime when we wash them in the bathtub. It is okay to be dirty.
Hell yeah, I love that. Well, and also it's so good for your body and so many ways because it builds that immune system. Like that's the real honest way too.
Oh yes.
So your kids are probably the warriors.
Yeah. Well, it has to do like everything comes back to gut microbiome, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Everything.
Don't wash your food. Let's say you have a garden and you bring in a like a tomato from it. You don't have to technically wash it unless you've sprayed it yourself with something, right?
Yeah.
So I like just eating from nature, it just makes sense to me to not wash my food from my garden, I guess. I wash my carrots, but like most things are already clean from the rain. So why would I do that?
I'm all about that fuss-free glam. Give me makeup that's versatile and feels like air on my skin and has ingredients that love my face, that's good for my face. You know, clean ingredients. And don't even get me started on mascaras because I do want them bold and lengthening. And so we have Thrive Cosmetics, which I've been using since 2020, obviously because I appreciate their foolproof products that make it really easy to apply for any skill level. And they have a full line of makeup to refresh your everyday look, but also they give back. Every product purchased, Thrive Cosmetics donates products and funds to help communities thrive. Hence why it's Thrive Cosmetics, C-A-U-S-E, Medics. Thrive Cosmetics and Bigger Than Beauty skincare are not just makeup brands, they're a whole vibe. They're all about empowering us to rock our confidence. And when you support them, we are helping other communities thrive. Their stuff is not only easy to use, but no nasties, zero parabens, sulfites, phthalates. They are 100% vegan and cruelty-free. Let's talk lashes. Thanks to Thrive's liquid lash extensions, I must say that my lashes are just so beautiful and lush. It adds length, there are no clumps. And also, guess what? It slides right off with warm water, so no raccoon eyes here. And I appreciate they have nourishing ingredients that support longer, stronger, and healthier looking lashes over time. And it's a unique formula they use that creates these tubes around each eyelash to lengthen them. We've had problems in the past with the link, but the link does work now. Refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics, luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/magic. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS.com/magic for 10% off your first order.
Well, and you know the soil that it's coming from. See, I wash my vegetables because I travel a lot. I don't have a garden. I want to talk about your urban garden, by the way. But just because sometimes I'm like, what if it touched something in the truck that it was delivered in? So I try to buy
that. That is a completely different scenario, because by the time you have your produce arrive at the supermarket, it is like been touched by about 50 people.
Exactly. You are living my dream life right now, having an urban garden and everything. You really inspired me with this urban garden. When I settle, I don't know if it will be in a city or if it's going to be in the middle of the woods, but regardless, I need a garden.
Having a garden really reconnects you back with the earth, okay? And I find that's empowering. That's like, that's magic in that soil right there. And I think a lot of us get disconnected from where our food comes from. So going back to our gardens, going back to our earth and reconnecting with it is so, so important, especially for kids. I think there should be garden programs where we show gardening in schools. It is so important to maintain that knowledge of how to garden. And we get disconnected from that as a society. We think that our food comes in on these trucks, and we're disconnected from the farmers who grow it, and we're disconnected from the process. It's really, when you get down to it, it is so interesting. I can go on about it forever. I can talk about permaculture and organic gardening and like the soil and just everything. And I try to, well, in my garden, everything is organic. And I try to have only seeds from heirlooms. So heirloom seeds are different than mainstream seeds. So they're seeds that you technically don't see a lot of. And they're kept by seed savers. So it's really cool. I also save my own seeds. And to me, it's really important to have organic produce because it is very, very expensive in stores. So for me to grow it is important for me and my family.
Oh, this is so new to me. I love it. Oh my gosh. So heirloom seeds are saved by seed savers, seed keepers, and you happen to also be that. And
yes.
How in the world, though, does one get started with creating a garden in their backyard? And what do they first begin to plant, if anything, to start out their garden journey?
It is so easy. So I'm from the country, and when I was a kid, I had a sandbox and I filled it with dirt and started growing things in it. And that was like separate from my parents. I just loved growing things, always have. And when I moved to the city, because I moved to Montreal, I was about 17, 18 when I moved to Montreal. And I was in tiny little apartments. And so I would grow things on my windowsill in little cups and like containers that I would find on the side of the road and the streets and stuff. And so I would grow beans in like little containers on my windowsill or flowers. And when I moved to bigger rental spaces with my family, as I got older, and I had kids and my husband and stuff, I would find like bigger things on the side of the road, like recycling containers that were broken and kids' swimming pools with cracks on the bottom. And I would drag it back to our rental, fill it with dirt and grow things in it like potatoes and onions and chives and just little things. Growing a garden doesn't mean it has to take up all your space, and it doesn't mean necessarily that it is in the ground. You can grow in basically anything as long as you have dirt and seeds and some water and sunlight. You are good. You are golden.
Yes. I love that idea, by the way, the children's tub. Yeah. That's so brilliant. Of course, there are certain seasons, though, where it might be hard to grow. So maybe doing something indoors does help a lot.
Exactly. So I have a number of plants inside as well. And it's great to just have plants inside your home because of oxygen. It helps create oxygen in your home. They do a service for us. They really, really do. And I love having plants around. I have a naturally green thumb, so I will find plants on discount because they're dying at anywhere from grocery stores to nurseries, and I'll take them home and I'll pay like 50 cents for a plant and then resurrect it.
Yeah, you nurse it back to health. I love that.
Yeah, I really do because it's kind of cool to give it its life back in a way, and then I don't know. I feel attached to it. A lot of my plants have names. I have a plant that is as old as my oldest daughter, 7 years old, this cactus is, and he's awesome. And his name is Elmo, 7-year-old cactus.
7 years old. You know what? My dad as well has a plant that is older than me. because he's been awesome. Nourishing it forever. He loves it. It's his
that is amazing.
Baby. Because they are, in a sense, children. I mean, they are a form of consciousness.
Yes.
100%. They're fully alive. You can feel them. They have a certain personality in a way whenever I'm around them.
Agreed.
Like, I feel like I can sense a different plant's personality with everyone that I touch.
I totally agree with you. I talk to my plants. Maybe I'm a crazy plant lady, but I play music for them. I change positions where they are if I feel like they want to be moved. I'm in tune with them, I guess. Sometimes I bring my indoors plants outside in the summer, and I pay very special attention to as whether they want to go back inside or not. So if they start changing color or just like look a bit different, I bring them right back indoors and I'm like, okay, we'll fix this.
See, you being a quote unquote crazy cat lady makes me think that you are actually more sane than anything because that's the way it should be. I mean, everybody, the thing is though, is that it can be hard sometimes for a lot of people that might live in New York City or Los Angeles to find places and spaces to really have plants around or connect with plants and connect with nature, whether they're in their house or they go out. But
bring them home, put them in your shower. There are so many plants out there that need minimal light. Mm-hmm. And even cacti, it's extremely, so insanely hard to kill a cactus. Mm-hmm. Really. All you need is a little bit of light. You can find really tiny cactuses, and just having that plant around, I find, reconnects you with what life is like, you know, what the essence really is. And I find that it helps ground me a lot. I don't know. I just really like having plants around. It makes me really, really happy.
You're such an earth mama. You're such an earth mama. And I think because of your connection with plants, perhaps somehow it's almost like they whispered in your ear in some way to become more environmentally conscious, if I'm going to go a little esoteric.
I don't know. I think I got interested in our earth as a kid because I would run around barefoot. I had our garden. We lived in the country. I was actually homeschooled. So I was outside all the time and I was in our woods and our lake and stuff. And I was always really connected to what was going on around me in terms of what was growing around me and things like that and the wildlife. And that prompted me to go vegetarian at a really young age because I would find birds in the forest with broken wings and I would bring them home and tape up the bird wings and then let them go after they healed. I would find abandoned baby mice and things like that and raise them and then let them go. I had almost like, I don't want to say pet chipmunks, but I had chipmunks that would climb up onto me and onto my legs and even follow me into the house to get bird seed and then run back out.
Oh, they knew. They weren't scared of you.
It was so cool. It was so cool to be connected to wildlife in that way. And yet at the same time, making sure it stayed wild, you know, like they never became pets. They just stayed wild. But I don't know, we had a friendly interaction, I guess. And so when I found veganism, it was just really natural for me to go in that direction. And I found veganism basically went vegan overnight when I found it, because I was researching online how to make myself and my stomach pain go away, how to make myself feel better. And I found stuff online that night and just immediately switched over. And then, I don't know, I guess 2008, I started like looking at my products that I was using and switching over to more eco-friendly, biodegradable, compostable stuff that I could use on my skin and my hair and on my face and things like that. And I even started making my own toothpaste and deodorant then. So that has been happening for a very, very long time. And back then, people just thought I was crazy. They thought I was this weird college student. Everyone thought I was this like hippie girl who was just really into veganism, because veganism wasn't a thing then. Like 13 years ago, you could not get like all the different types of plant milks in the stores now. I couldn't find ice cream that was vegan at all. Like people thought I was crazy. And it's really, really kind of cool to see the progression of demand and supply in the mainstream world and how it's caught up. More people are becoming more conscious about what they're consuming and what they're using, and they want to be more sustainable.
That must be so amazing to witness, because you're right. Back when you started, it did seem a little far-fetched. It did seem a little outlandish and out there, and they would label them hippies. What's so funny is my dad used to tell me, the two things I don't want you to ever be are a stripper or a hippie. And now that I am a hippie, he's all about it. And he's even starting to, you know, get more conscious and eat more plant-based and be more mindful with what he buys. So he's a little more eco-conscious. And it's just, it's funny how the shift has happened in the collective. I think it's amazing that you stayed true to you and being honest with what you knew deep down, because it's so easy to want to stay part of the status quo and not feel like the little weirdo that's doing things that's outside of ourselves. And there are people that are interested in this lifestyle, but they're surrounded in a community that may not fully understand it or be accepting of it. So how can people just start to kind of like own this shift and just be themselves? Because I mean, that's how you really influence others too.
I want to be honest. It is incredibly difficult sometimes to stay true to yourself and in the journey, and to be, let's say you feel a connection to wanting to go vegan and everyone around you doesn't think that's a good idea and doesn't want to do that. That can really disrupt your thinking patterns. It can really make you question if what you're doing is okay or not, or good for you even. So it's incredibly difficult. I had to live through that. I had to live with a family that wasn't into being vegan or vegetarian and who constantly told me that I wasn't going to be healthy. And my family isn't into being zero waste and things like that. It takes a while to feel fully confident in your choices. But I found that whenever I started thinking, oh, maybe the mainstream way of thinking is right. Maybe I'm not healthy. Maybe I should start wearing Degree deodorant or something. You know what I mean? Like mainstream stuff, or maybe I should like buy into the consumer habits of wearing like, I don't know, buying foundation and a ton of makeup. Not that there's anything wrong with makeup, just like buying into consumer habits, or like maybe I need fancy clothes or something like that to feel like a good person or like an important person in our society. Whenever I started feeling like I needed to keep up with the Joneses, I would remind myself that that doesn't necessarily make you happy, because buying into consumerism, buying into materialism, and doing what everyone else does isn't going to make you happy if you feel deep down that you're not on the right path and you're not being true to yourself. So you will, even if you, let's say, fall off the path for a while, you are always going to return to what interests you and the direction you're supposed to be going. So maybe you are supposed to go down the mainstream path. And if that does happen and you feel good on it, I guess keep going. But I think that everyone is going to return to a path where they feel best and most connected with our earth and most conscious about their actions and what's affecting our world.
Well, especially with everything going on today, it's been a great wake-up call. It's Mama Earth knows what she's doing. She knows what she's doing. And it's so amazing. I mean, I don't watch the news, but I've heard the news, especially when I'm like around my parents or something, they'll have it on. And the fact that they refer to Mama Earth, or the Amazon, as the lungs of the earth, it's like they're starting to starting to humanize her, because she really is part of us. People are like, oh, maybe I should probably not really buy so much plastic.
Exactly. Just paying more attention to what you're buying or what you're purchasing, because your purchasing power is so huge. People forget that when they buy something, they are voting with their money. They are voting with their money for a more sustainable planet by supporting the companies that are actually sustainable or use compostable products. And so when you say, okay, I'm not going to buy this company's product anymore because they aren't fair trade, or they treat their workers badly, or it comes from a sweatshop, or you know, it's in plastic, you are voting for a better world when you do not purchase from those companies.
Yes. And unfortunately, it's there's a lot of products that I enjoy that happen to have some plastic, and I'll be quite frank, I'm not the most perfect at being zero waste. Definitely not perfect at being zero waste. Not the most perfect at being low waste, but I have compassion for myself because I remember what I do feel is right. And then that's when I start to make more conscious decisions. So it's like it's almost taken it day by day. I'm not 100% yet, but I've been taking it day by day as I know a lot of other people might be intimidated by just the lifestyle in general because they might think it might be too expensive when it comes to money and when it comes to time. You know, they might think, oh, it's just going to take me so much time to have to, you know, cook all this food and get all this bowl. But I know that this can be debunked in some way. And so why is it so important right now to begin this waste-free, conscious lifestyle? Or, and how can we just begin to take small steps each day? Because I'm trying to take small steps.
So just going back to what you were saying before, I don't think that zero waste is something you can do 110% and be perfect at. It is, we live in an un-zero waste world. We are not set up in our world to be zero waste. There are companies that make stuff in plastic that we need, like things like medicine and going to the dentist and things like that. You can't get away from it being in plastic or not, you know?
Yeah.
Our lifestyles and just being living on our planet does create waste. You just have to be more conscious about what you're doing. So when you create waste, you just have to acknowledge, okay, I did this. And I'm going to own that I did that.
Yeah.
And so I just want to put that out there that you don't have to be 110% perfect. It is really, really impossible. You would have to be living off grid in the forest, growing your own fibers for your clothing. You have your own compost heap. You are growing all your own food. You are getting your own water. You are doing everything yourself. That is almost pretty much impossible. You would have to have a community around you who is doing the exact same thing and have a chance at having a fully zero waste life.
Yeah.
You can only do the best you can with what you have and what you know. And I repeat this a lot on my YouTube channel just because I like reminding people that you only know so much. And when you know better, you can do better. Yeah. But just be conscious of your actions, you know, make sure that you are doing things for the right reason and don't overburden yourself. So if something is really hard for you to do and you are having difficulty with it or it is out of your budget, do not do it. Mm-hmm. Don't overburden yourself because this should be fun. Mm-hmm. This should be something that you're doing because you want to help the earth and you want to help yourself. You want to help future generations. You want to help the animals on our planet and the oceans. But don't do something if it's going to affect your health badly. Like I, for example, have to go in for colonoscopies. That creates medical waste. I can't get around that. And I don't want to jeopardize my health by being like, no, I'm not going to do this.
Yeah.
There are some things you just have to accept as being wasteful and you just have to keep going on and trying your best. Okay. But that said, I think that there are ways to do this lifestyle in a way where you are not spending a ton of money and not overexerting yourself. There are so many companies out there, sustainable small businesses out there that are coming out with zero waste products that make it easier to be zero waste. So you don't have to do everything yourself. If you don't want to make your deodorant from scratch, you don't have to.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that anymore. You can get glass jars or cardboard containers of deodorant these days. You can get them in a zero waste way. You can get sent from zero waste shops online. You can use reusable containers. You don't have to make your own cloth bags unless you want to, that sort of thing. But that said, I do make a lot of my food from scratch and I do make my own deodorant and I do make my own even cleaning vinegar for my home. So I try to do everything myself and as frugally as possible because I really just don't like spending money.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, but that said though, I do go and support the small businesses out there that are trying to be more sustainable and conscious about their actions and who are zero waste. I think that's really important to vote with your money and support those businesses. Otherwise, we are going to have a world still filled with mainstream businesses who are just trying to make a buck on you with plastic containers of deodorant. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So that was a long rant there, but I just really do believe that there are ways you can be more frugal or cheap in this lifestyle. And that includes going to bulk stores and comparing prices. And let's say, like, this is not about being perfect. This is about doing the best you can with what you have and what you know. So if your budget doesn't allow you to buy something in bulk and you find that thing, let's say, cheaper in, let's say, a glass jar. Glass jars are amazing. Yeah. They're awesome. Buy the glass jar because you can reuse it. But just be, like, conscious of what you're doing. So, like, for example, it is really hard to find strawberries in a zero waste mm-hmm. way in the wintertime. Okay. Either you're getting them in plastic containers at the grocery store or you're getting them in plastic bags at, let's say, Costco. Mm-hmm. So what I do is I store food in the summertime. So I went and I bought $75 worth of local strawberries from a local strawberry farmer. Now, everyone doesn't have a strawberry farmer close to them, but if you do, I go and get my strawberries local, and I will get them in big cardboard flats, and they are all in little plastic containers. So not like they don't have lids to them. They're just little containers.
Yeah.
And so I will chop up all the strawberries, which is what I'm doing this morning. I'm chopping up all these strawberries today. I am putting them in glass jars and putting them in my freezer. Mm-hmm. And so just going back to that, they do come in plastic containers, like little kind of like boxes.
Yeah.
So I am going to take those plastic boxes and either reuse them or bring them back to the farmer who gave them to me. Ah. And in that way, they are being reused. So that's kind of in line with being more conscious about your actions and knowing what you are doing. So if you can reuse something, definitely reuse
yes,
it.
Yes, I absolutely.
Sorry, that was long.
No, well, first of all, most every answer will probably end up being long because we go deep, but
yeah, good. I love it.
I'm all about the long answers. Trust me. But also I'm so glad that you said that, because I was really curious how we can, reuse plastic, but also in creative ways, but get the message out there of different types of material we can begin using instead of plastic, so that perhaps companies will begin making the shift from, oh, it looks like people really don't want to use plastic anymore because it's kind of hurting Mama Earth. So maybe we should just invest slightly more. It's okay. Maybe we have to charge slightly more, because I think that
exactly. Everybody,
it will all nominally add up. The second, even if they start charging more, we'll start making more. It will all even out in some way magically. And I do see, honestly, I could be very ambitious, but in 10, 15, 20 years, like, that's going to be the route. It's got to go. We've got to do this before, you know, it's irreversible. So
I completely agree. I see us heading in that direction as well. And this is a sad thing. It's a sad fact of life. Companies pay attention to graphs and like supply and demand and how much money is being spent on what. Yeah. And so the more money you spend on glass containers or BPA-free tins, the better, because tin cans can be recycled indefinitely, as can glass. So those are the two things. If you need to buy a container or something, get BPA-free cans because they don't contain plastic, and get glass jars. Those are the two things you should focus on if you are looking for packaging or even cardboard. That can be recycled to a degree, but I try to focus on things that I can personally reuse. So I focus on getting glass jars. And so that's my thing, because I can reuse them and I can fill them with bulk items. I can fill them with stuff for my garden to freeze. So that's what I really focus on. But by supporting companies who have glass jars, let's say you go into your supermarket and you see a glass jar of tahini and you see a plastic jar of tahini, and the difference between the two is, let's say, $2. Get the glass jar, because you can reuse that, and that is better for our planet. And at some point, that supermarket is going to see a table of their products and what is selling more. And they are going to be like, well, we're not going to stock the plastic one anymore. Everyone seems to be buying the glass one. And the company is going to be like, oh, wait. Oh my goodness. No one's buying our plastic item anymore. We better switch to something, you know?
Yes.
Really about supply and demand and voting with your money, because voting with your money has almost, no, I'm going to say it. It has arguably more power than going and voting in an election. That mm-hmm. said, go and vote in elections, but I'm just saying it contains so much power. You have so much power as a consumer to change this planet, and you may not even know it. So yeah, go and vote with your money.
I have chills. That is so true, because I mean, you've even seen in the past few years how many companies are putting their products, like labeling it plant-based or vegan friendly, because people voted with their money that they want more vegan friendly products, whether or not they're fully vegan. Like myself, I might not be 100% vegan, but I do have mostly, basically all I have is like local eggs on occasion, right? At this time.
No. I'm going to jump in here and say good for you, because you know what? It's not, I know this is, I'm a bad vegan, but I'm going to say this anyway. I eat a completely vegan diet and I have a vegan lifestyle, but that said, I understand why people eat meat and I understand why people eat eggs, and everyone is different on this planet. I have friends who have Crohn's disease. They can't eat vegetables. Right. They just really can't do it. It hurts them. Yeah. And so everyone is different. Everyone is fighting their own battle. Everyone has different medical issues and needs. Mm-hmm. And so I understand that everyone can't be vegan. It's a matter of budget. It's a matter of food deserts out there. It's a matter of health and medical necessities. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm a bad vegan who acknowledges that everyone can't be vegan. So you know what? You are doing an amazing thing by eating the local eggs, because that is better than going to a company that has a bunch of chickens in a big, you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. That's why I can't even, if we go out, I won't order the egg dish because I know I'm only supporting the wrong egg company. Farming, yeah. The commercial farming. But this is new for me. I was vegan for a while. And so thank you for saying that. I actually haven't even come out about it yet, but it's for,
you're out now.
I'm out now. And, yeah. And so the fact that you said that, I actually almost wanted to cry because it was for, like you said, health reasons or whatever. And I was feeling, but at the same time I knew, I mean, I was guided to, but that's beside the point. And so thank you for saying that. And also,
Everyone's different. Everyone has their own stuff going on. And I just don't think it's fair to say everyone should follow a vegan diet, because not everyone can. And we really need to acknowledge this as a society and as even in the vegan community. I don't think that a lot of vegans like that so many people are not vegan anymore or not so vegan anymore. Yes. And we have, like, veganism is growing. I mean, it's trending. We have so many vegan products these days. And I think it's more important for people to be imperfect vegans. You know what I mean? Mm. I think it's more important to be vegan when it fits your budget and the opportunity comes up and you can do it, rather than being so stressed out about being truly vegan all the time. Ugh. I think it's better to be imperfect about something, even imperfect with zero waste. Be an imperfect zero waster. Be an imperfect vegan. And I think that is better for our planet than doing nothing.
Oh my gosh. Amen. Girl, you just, like, you get it. Preach. This makes me feel so happy to hear somebody that has such a strong voice in the community. You do. You really do. I can hear the passion behind it. And you know why it's so important? It's because some people, to them, it's all or nothing. Like, I'm not going to get, even though just in this season of my life have been eating eggs, doesn't mean I'm not going to.
No, it doesn't mean it's forever.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think that, like, for me, I understand why people can't be truly vegan, because I have been, like I said, I went vegan in, I think it was like 2007, 2006, around there. And like, I was maintained being vegan that entire time. I was even raw vegan in there, which is really extreme and out there. Like, that's really, truly hard. I've done that. But, and that was me trying to fix my stomach issues, which I already had, and it just didn't help fully. But anyway, getting back to my point, I understand why people can't be vegan all the time, because I did. And now this, people aren't going to like this either if they're really into veganism, maybe. But I could not be vegan when I was a single mother. So I left an abusive relationship 3 days after my daughter Selkie was born. She's 7 years old now. And she came a month early because of the extent of the abuse. And after I got out of the hospital, I left with a tiny suitcase. And I had nothing. I had no money. I lived in with my parents in their basement for a bit, but there was like no vegan options in the tiny country town they lived in. And then I moved back to Montreal. I had a tiny little apartment and it was cockroach infested, and I had to go to food pantries and food banks, and I would eat anything I could find, basically. I would eat absolutely anything. I have celiac disease. I ate wheat bread just to get by. I went, like, it was bad. For an entire week once, I ate coconut oil. So I have lived, I have lived, like, working full time and just having enough money for my daughter to go to daycare and for her to eat and for me to get to work and stuff on my bicycle. But I had to go to food pantries and food banks, and I tried my best. And I wasn't able to go back to being vegan until I met my husband, and I converted him, by the way. And then we have our vegan kids, but, and everyone's vegan now, but it was really hard to live in a poverty situation. I was making so little money and just getting by. Everything was going towards my rent. Everything was going towards daycare. I had so little money as a single mom. And I recognize now, maybe I was I used to be a hardcore vegan and I was like, oh, everyone should be vegan. And it took me going through that situation to realize, hey, wait a second. Food deserts exist where you can't get to vegan food. You know what I mean? Or even a grocery store very easily. Poverty exists where you cannot afford everything that you need to do to survive. And so, and then I have my medical issues, and I've met so many people who have GI issues or stomach pain and things like that. And they just eat what they can eat because they are so restricted. And so like I'm on a restricted diet. It is really hard for me to eat most of the time. So I drink like a ton of juice. I juice most of the things I eat. It is really hard to get by. But I just recognize now that everyone has an inner battle that they are fighting, and they are just trying to live their lives. And you can only do what you can with what you have and what you know. So just do your best. That was a long spiel there. Sorry, I go on mini rants.
I'm loving the mini rants. I'm loving the passion. I'm loving the fact that you are showing the true compassion behind the vegan message, the conscious message, because a lot of people can experience anxiety to be perfect, and that just throws them off completely sometimes. And so
it's about being compassionate, not like you have to be compassionate to other people and be compassionate towards yourself. Yes. Like you really do. And like when I left my situation of living in poverty and started, like, things got better. I got a better job. Things started working a lot better. I was able to go back to being vegan, converted my husband to veganism. He did it on his own. I say converted to veganism, but really he did it on his own. He was like, let's do this, you know? It's not for everyone, and certain situations make it incredibly difficult. I really do believe it's a privilege to be vegan in our world. Mm-hmm. If you are healthy enough to, if you have access to the fresh food and all the vegan products, you can do it easily, but mm-hmm. not everyone can do it.
Thank you for acknowledging that. That means a lot, because people can get anxiety about it. So
yeah.
Oh, wow. And oh, speaking of anxiety, by the way, I think I was watching one of your YouTube videos, and something that I believe you call eco anxiety, which was a perfect term for something that a lot of people experience. Do you mind talking about this as we try to balance our mental health when it comes to getting into this lifestyle?
Yeah. So I find I get eco anxiety. So eco anxiety is basically when you are so, I guess, aghast with the world and the way it's going. You hear about the Amazon and it's on fire. You hear about the amount of plastic in our oceans. You hear about, like, you know, 10 years from now, we're going to be basically have no point of return. You know, you hear about all the bad things happening in our world. And I really find that the news, I don't watch the news anymore, but I really find that news stations really love bad news. They really like to soak it up and like talk about it. And so I find by not watching the news, that actually helps me stay focused on my path to do the best I can do. And I find that the eco anxiety creeps in when I start hearing all the bad news and start hearing about that there's no point of return, nothing you can do can save us, that sort of thing. And that's just really not true. If we all kind of like do our imperfect best, we can get there. It's not about being perfect at all. It is like a nice, I don't know, I always identify with the wabi-sabi. I hope I'm saying that right. It's like a Japanese art of, I believe it's Japanese art of being imperfect. So you'll have a cracked jar or a cracked bowl, and it is perfectly imperfect. And I really love that, because we're all perfectly imperfect people. The striving for perfection in our society makes you sick. It'll make you anxious. It'll make you depressed. And when you fully acknowledge that you just can never be perfect, and that you should just embrace being imperfect, it really helps. So I find with my eco anxiety, I can only do the best I can do in the moment that I am doing something. So you know, in terms of my health issues, I have to accept that I am not a fully healthy person. I have to accept it. I have to accept that it creates medical waste and that I am doing the best I can. And so I have to constantly remind myself of that, that I'm just doing what I can with what I have and what I know and what I've been given. You know, if I were a billionaire, I would like pledge so much money towards like things and create entire movements with my money, but I am not in that position because I'm not a billionaire. I only have like my limited budget. So instead, I try to focus on what I can do, which is I take my purchasing power back. I don't let mainstream society tell me what I need to buy. I buy things that I think are a vote for a more sustainable world. And that is how I make an impact.
Seriously, with each individual yes. just making a small impact in some way collectively, it does wonders. By the way, I have Imperfect tattooed on my back.
Oh my
It's one of my favorite tattoos.
Love it. Love it.
Yes. Yes, I'll show it to you. It's one of my favorite tattoos, absolutely, just because my entire life, I always reached for perfection. Yes. I mean, I was a pageant girl from the age of 4,
oh my
you know?
God. So like, you understand I was, fully.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That's why Imperfect is like the word that resonates deeply with me, just yes. owning that, because none of us are going to ever be. But I love that you even tie it into being an imperfect vegan, an imperfect
yes.
waste-free conscious person, because we do our best. We really do. But as long as you know you're doing your best and you're making those conscious choices individually, making your imprint in the world collectively, that's going to end up, you know, doing wonders.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are some of your tips then for someone wanting to integrate more of a waste-free or just conscious lifestyle in a way that might not be intimidating
okay.
just each day, what we can do simply.
Just going to the store with a cloth bag and not taking that plastic bag does wonders. It's amazing. So bring cloth bags, bring cloth produce bags with you to the grocery store. It's so easy. Hunt down, if you can, your local farmer's market and go to that. Connect with your farmers. Talk to them about how the food is grown. All these things will make a dent in your mind. It'll remind you why you're doing what you're doing and why we need to be conscious consumers in our planet so that we have a sustainable future. Doing little things like buying a glass jar of something instead of a plastic jar of something, that is something that you can do super, super easily. Going to your local bulk store or bulk section of your grocery store, like Whole Foods has a bulk section. Bring your jars with you. Bring your bags with you. Go tear the jars at the cash register and deduct that at the cash when you are taking out your beans or your oats or whatever. So there are so many small things you can do just by being more conscious of what you are consuming and buying and things like that. And especially, I want to emphasize this actually. Mm-hmm. I think this is one of the most, actually, no, I have two ideas.
I love it.
Most two important things that you can possibly do. Reusing packaging, I think, is like number one. Reuse the packaging. So if you buy something, let's say spaghetti sauce, in a glass jar, reuse that glass jar or put it up on like Facebook Marketplace for people to come pick up from you and they will reuse it. So instead of recycling that glass jar, put it out there to be reused. And then like the last possible thing you should do with it is recycle it. Because even though a glass jar has an infinite recyclability, I guess, it's infinite, it can keep being recycled, I think it's more important to reuse things. So definitely try and strive to reuse things. And then the second one is strive to buy things secondhand. You can find so many things out there in thrift shops or even on used stuff online. You can go to ThreadUp.com. They have amazing yes. secondhand clothing there.
I just downloaded that app yesterday. It was
so good. It's so good. I actually just bought stuff this morning for that.
Yeah.
So it is so easy as a mom to go on that app and purchase secondhand clothing for myself and for my kids. Cause like, I have to face it. It is incredibly hard for me to go shopping with my kids sometimes. I can't try anything on and they don't want to try anything on. So it's easier for me to go online in the comfort of my own home and shop online sometimes. Mm-hmm. But when I shop online, I buy secondhand because our resources in our world are not infinite. Like when you go into a store and let's say go into Toys R Us and buy a plastic toy for your kids, you are supporting a company that goes and gets and makes plastic. And so instead, if you want, let's say you really want your kid to have that plastic toy, like no judgment, go and find it secondhand, go onto Facebook Marketplace, go into Craigslist and find that toy secondhand, because one, you are going to pay less, and two, you are not telling that company that there is a bigger demand for that toy. So like we need to reuse what we have on this planet already, not create more new goods, if that makes sense.
That is
so when it comes down to it, it is all about consumer power. It really is. So when you tell a company, I am not going to buy your plastic toy anymore, I'm going to find it secondhand, they aren't creating more toys with the resources, the limited resources our world has. And when let's say you want a new toy for your kid and it can't be secondhand, find a toy from a small business, a small sustainable zero waste business, support a local maker, do stuff like that, because that is also voting with your money. And people don't really understand when it comes to small businesses and supporting, let's say, local farmers, local like makers, sewers, people who create clay mugs, things like that. They are supporting a family when they do that. That money goes towards a maker's family or a farmer's family or a baker's family. And that money is kept in your local economy. And that is really important. People don't understand how big they need. Like it is, people, you really need to support your local economy. You just really have to do it.
Yes, believe me. Yes.
And when you give money, let's say, to a big plastic toy company in Toys R Us, you are supporting those big companies, but those are corporations. Those are not, that is not going towards someone's family or a small business's family. That's going towards a corporation. And some of these companies support their employees so horribly. And so when this comes in with purchasing power as well, and being a conscious consumer, when you support a corporation, a company, a small business, do your research. Do your research. Make sure that they are treating their employees fairly. Make sure you know where your money is going. And I know I'm going to go on a bit more of a rant. Sorry.
I love it.
I really have thought about this lately, and it's like really getting to me. A lot of companies right now are into the zero waste, low waste trend. And the thing about that is a lot of companies are now coming out with new packaging that is compostable. And I'm putting compostable in like almost quotation rabbit ears right now, because they aren't compostable. These are like keywords that companies slap on their products, just like companies slap on an organic sticker on their products when it's only, let's say, 60% organic. Mm-hmm. So these are things that really, you really need to pay attention to. Like if you go on Amazon.com, let's just say it's Amazon.com, and you see dog bags and they say biodegradable or compostable, do your research and make sure those doggy bags are compostable or biodegradable. And just to say it, put it out there as well, biodegradable and compostable are two separate things. So compostable is when something fully breaks down into our earth. There is no trace left. It can grow a tree.
Wow. I didn't know this.
Biodegradable means it breaks down, and it'll break down over the course of many years, let's say 5+ years, mm-hmm. and there are remnants left of it. So like that bag will break down, but there'll be microplastics or something left over from it in the earth. And so instead of supporting companies that are coming out with biodegradable products, look for compostable products. Do your due diligence as a consumer and support the companies that have true organic, or not organic, or compostable products. You have to really research this stuff and make sure it's what you're buying, because there is greenwashing going on, and zero waste or low waste stickers are going to be starting to be slapped on a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
And so make sure that you are supporting good companies that are hoping for a sustainable future, not companies that are just trying to cash in with the zero waste, low waste trend.
Are you aware of any companies that come to mind that we can begin buying some products from, purchasing from, in order to support them and our effort to reduce waste?
Oh my goodness. I don't want to say any specific companies right now.
That's fine.
Unless I think of one offhand, but there are so many small businesses out there that are trying to create change in our world. Like they have compostable packaging or recyclable packaging in terms of they have glass jars they use, or they use recycled cardboard tubes for their deodorant, or they use tins that are made out of metal. Those are things you have to pay attention and look for. Support the small businesses. I really want to put out there, we should be supporting more small businesses, more small makers. Like go on Etsy, find someone who is local to you, who's making deodorant. If you don't want to make deodorant, support the small companies. And even like, if you can go and pick it up, don't have it shipped in the mail. If you can't, if it's possible, do small things like that, because those are the small things that make a difference.
When you say pick it up though, because sometimes, I mean, well, unless you're like walking and biking, but at the same time, if it's carried with all the others, doesn't that kind of help reduce
that? That is true. I guess in terms of picking it up, I meant like, you know, on Etsy, sometimes you'll realize that someone is like a block away from
you. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Then go walk and pick it up.
Yeah. Go walk up your street. Or let's say you find out that maker is going to an event, a zero waste event, and or a farmer's market. Go pick it up at the farmer's market. And at the same time, support other makers and farmers and pick up the other things at the same time. So if you have to, let's say, go somewhere in terms of transport, make it a worthwhile trip.
I love that.
And that, you know, don't go somewhere with transportation just to do one thing. Go and do many things and pick up many, many items.
Yes, I love that. And also, I'm glad that you brought this up, just because there really is a different vibration you feel when you buy something that is local. Because, I mean, first of all, a lot of them might be handmade artisans. So, of course, no matter what, they are reusing something that could have just simply been trashed or, you know, thrown away in the junkyard, but instead they're reusing it and creating something of such great beauty because it's made handmade by them. But also instead of, and when you go to them, again, you said you're voting with your money. So, you know, perhaps because those people are hopefully getting paid slightly more in some way, you're helping them out, and then you're showing the big businesses like, look, we know you're not treating your employees well financially, and now we're giving money to these local businesses who are going to be able to make more money to hire those people to treat those people right so they live a better lifestyle.
Exactly. And it's also about connecting with your community. I really am a fan of like slowing down. So we live in this mainstream society where everything is fast-paced. We want everything now. We want everything to be convenient. We like convenience foods. We want our packages at our door the next day. You know what I mean? And so I really believe in community and slowing down. And I think that by going to a maker who took the time instead of going to supporting a factory, you know what I mean? Like a corporation who makes things in a factory, you are helping someone's passion. Let's say you go and purchase a candle from a candle maker. They did that by hand. You are supporting your local economy and you are connecting to someone else in your community. And I think that community is so important. We live in a day and age where we are glued to our phones, our computers, to screens. And we don't really think about getting out there and talking to our neighbors as much. Like I bet a lot of us out there or people who are listening can't really or don't really know the name of all the neighbors around them. So what I like to do is I like to go out there and connect with my community. I love talking to other makers. I love knowing who's behind making my candles, my soy wax candles. I want to know them. I want to be friends with them. You know what I mean? And so it goes like beyond just supporting a local business. You are supporting a local friend. So like this summer I went into, like, we live a little ways out of the country. We want to actually move to the country because we keep going to the country. So obviously we're meant to be out there and I need to live a bigger garden. But I went into the country and I bought local, huge local watermelons from this lady named Sarah. And she does such good watermelons. But I am now friends with this woman and she has an amazing family. And it's just really nice to connect to people and get to know people and slow down a little bit, get out from your screen and actually see someone face to face. And you are supporting this person's family, this person. Yeah. actual real person who is passionate about growing watermelons by supporting them, you know? So I think that's really important. So I just want to throw that out there.
That is such a beautiful message. I absolutely love your heart. And I love that you connect with other hearts and you make sure to put an effort into doing that. I mean, some of the listeners like might be similar to myself where we can kind of hermit and be in our own little world. I'm such an introvert. I stay at home like most of the time for sure. But it is so important. There's just that balance like we were talking about. Mm-hmm. Circling back to what we were talking about earlier, the balance of the rest and the yang.
Yes. Also the balance. I can't do it all the time. But when I can do it, I do it. So like I'm an imperfect person. I'm imperfect. I can't keep going all the time. I do take that downtime for myself. But when I am up again and good and feeling good, I get out there. You know, it's about just as much as connecting with your community as it is about connecting with yourself. You need that rest time. You need to get out there. You know,
I love all the different themes that we are touching upon on this. Before we dive into some random fire, do you have any more messages that come to heart when it comes to just a conscious lifestyle or helping Mama Earth or zero waste or veganism, whatever it is?
Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, so I'll just throw random things out there then. I think it's really important for us to, I see organic come up a lot with people lately. So a lot of people have been messaging on my Instagram about organics and whether I support organics or not. Now I don't have an unlimited budget and I have to feed my family. So people talk to me about how important organics are, or do I believe in GMO food? And to be honest, I think that I'm really imperfect when it comes to food. So I will buy I will buy GMO peppers one day and I will buy organic peppers the next day. And it all comes down to my budget and what I can afford and what I think is okay for us to do. So in terms of our, like, I grew an organic garden because I believe in organics. I believe in getting back there. But at the same time, I can't afford organics all the time for my family. I just can't do it. So by growing it, I'm helping get us organic food. So people ask me, like, do you go out and support through organic companies? And I do, but I have a limited amount of money. So if I could, if I had an unlimited amount of money, I would just support organics. That's what I would do. But am I scared of GMOs? I don't know if I'm scared of GMOs. I hear stuff. I don't know. I prefer organics. That's what I do as, I guess, a mini urban farmer. Like, I rather support organics, but I think that we as people can only do our best with what we are given and what we have. And so I do my best in terms of organics and GMOs. That has been coming up a lot on my Instagram lately. So I just want to throw that out there, that you can only do the best you can.
That's such a beautiful message that, you know, it gives a lot of people permission to know that they're doing okay because they're doing their best, even if it's not perfect. Again, they're imperfectly perfect. And
it's like going to the grocery store and let's say you have a limited budget and you can't, you know, do everything in a zero waste, low waste way. Just do the best you can, because you know what? Your best is enough. Yeah. And I'm telling you right now, if you need permission to like go out there and just do your best, this is permission. Take this as a sign that you can only do the best you can. And that is okay. That is okay. We don't have enough people saying that it is okay to be imperfect. It is okay for your best to be imperfect, because you know what? Being perfect is overrated. It doesn't make sense. And all it does is make you unhappy.
Yes. Amen, sister. I freaking love you. You're amazing. You just get it. And you're making a lot of people feel so good because honestly, you also want to continue to do well when you do feel good about this. You don't have that anxiety. You don't have that conscious anxiety, that eco anxiety. It's all feeling good about what you're doing. And then the momentum kicks in and then you do more good versus like giving yourself such a hard time because you aren't doing everything perfectly.
Exactly. And it's really not on all of us as consumers to fix the world. It is on our governments. It is on our politicians. It is on the big corporations that are making so much environmental impact in terms of dumping their plastics, the air pollution, and stuff like that. So it is not just on you. You are one person in this world. Your best is good enough. What we should be doing is voting with our money, like I said, and also putting pressure on our governments to make a difference in this world, because it is up to them. They are the ones with all the money. Seriously, we are paying our tax dollars to these politicians. They should be doing something, and them not doing something isn't great. It's just not good.
100%, 100%. What are some ways that we can reach out to them or get our message out there, that message for Mama Earth out there, so they listen? Because again, we're voting with our money, and they'll see the numbers. They look at the stats. Yes.
Write to your local politicians, write to your local mayor, put a compost plan in place for your city, put pressure on your city to have a compost plan. Like right now, currently, so we've lived in Ottawa, I've lived in Montreal, I've lived in Kitchener, Waterloo, and now we are living in Windsor, Ontario, and there is no compost plan with the city. I pay money every month to get my compost picked up by a company. And that to me is such a big disconnect. We should be having, it should be picked up for free. Like it really should. And this should be mandatory. This should just be a basic necessity in every single city out there, because putting, let's say your banana peel in the garbage and getting that shipped to a landfill, that banana peel is going to sit there and be perfect. I've read about banana peels and carrots and even tacos in landfills from the 50s that are perfect condition. And it's because it's not given the opportunity to rot. It's not given the environment to rot. And so it should be a basic necessity for every city, every town out there to have a free compost plan. And so you need to put a ton of pressure on your local politicians, your local mayor, your local city. Get out there, write letters, create petitions for people that sign, get your friends to write emails too. Like do small things like that. Even writing to companies. I do this all the time. I've written to Costco telling them that they need to have less plastic packaging. Like seriously, Costco, what are you doing? You have so much plastic packaging on your stuff. Even if like they change their own brand, they have the Kirkland brand. Get Kirkland, their own company, to do something different.
Yeah.
Get some like compostable packaging, get some cardboard boxes in there, not so much plastic. And so just by writing to companies or supermarkets you go to, you create change. And that is so, so important. Write to your government, write to your like prime minister, your president, anyone who will listen to you, write to them. And because if enough people write, that will create change. And I also want to throw out there that there's this amazing group called Extinction Rebellion. And it actually started in the UK, but it's slowly creeping over to North America. And they have such awesome movements, such awesome protests, and they're very peaceful people. Okay.
Yeah.
Just putting out there, very peaceful activists, but you actually have to be an activist in this day and age. So even going to the store and choosing to buy a glass jar instead of a plastic one, you are being a rebel. You are being an activist by doing that, because you want to push for change. So even if you are a passive activist, you are still an activist.
Yes, a passive activist.
Exactly. It's not such a far step to grow it, like joining a group like Extinction Rebellion, where they have peaceful protests to make the government notice that what they're doing isn't okay for a lot of people. The more people who join in on these protests, the more the media takes notice, the more the government takes notice. So these are things that are almost necessary for us to do in this day and age.
Three things that came to mind that I just have to address, as obviously you and I will both go on rampages because we're very passionate about this stuff. But okay, so one that you just touched upon, yes, it's up to the people to shift the government's perspective, because they want to get voted in. They have their own agenda. And you know what? Great, we'll vote you in if you listen to us. And so, I mean, that's why women are now able to vote. That's why Black
are,
you know, seen as just as equal. And, you know, gay people can get married now because the public spoke, they listened. When you were talking about writing to the government, I just saw like, all right, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to write something. I think I'm going to even post it on my Insta story so people can copy it.
Tag me.
Yes, I will tag you, obviously. And yeah, and then, you know, more people can just like create their own, and they can even write their own letters. So then their friends, because, you know, obviously not the entire world's going to see mine, but maybe this can be a thing where people write a letter, they could put it on their Instagram. So other people know like what to say. They can just copy it verbatim, or they can write their own. And then they also post it on their Insta story. So other people see it. And then, you know, that way it's not just one person's letter that's going out to the government or even Costco, which by the way, this is the third thing. If Costco were to see the psychology behind people. So to be honest, when it comes to people's psychology when they buy something that they believe is eco-friendly or they believe is that makes them feel slightly better no matter how conscious of a person they are. Psychologically, they're like, oh, I've done a little better because I ate plant-based today, or this was plant-based, so this is going to be better for my health, or this is just going to be better for the environment. Like, no matter how conscious they are, psychologically, if they think that they're doing slightly better, they feel slightly better. So they're going to want to buy that more if they can also afford it at the same time.
So. Completely agree with you. Yes.
So many things came to mind when you were talking about that. I love the branches of and all the different themes, like I said.
And I completely agree with you with the Costco thing too, because people feel better when they see the non-GMO sticker on things or the organic. And so it really, it's about being a conscious consumer, and you feel good when you see those things, but there's also greenwashing. So like, gotta support the companies that are doing good things.
that are truly doing good things. Like the greenwashing, like you said, we also got to acknowledge, maybe even right in Costco, look, we see past you. We know that that's not 100%. We're not dumb. Don't treat us like babies or idiots. We're smart.
Exactly.
All right. Are you ready for a random fire?
Yes. Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right. Are you an early bird or a night owl?
Early bird.
Do you wake up before your kids or do your kids wake you up?
It varies.
Yeah, of course. Of course it varies. What's your zodiac sign?
Aries.
Ooh. Oh my gosh. No wonder we get along. We're both fire.
What are you?
I'm a Leo. I am a
Leo. Oh my goodness. Yes. Hugs.
No kidding. All the hugs, all the big love, all the fire, all the passion.
Oh my God, this makes sense so good now. This makes sense.
It makes so much sense why we vibe. I love it. What is your mantra? If you have
one.
Oh
my goodness. Oh, well, be like wabi-sabi.
I would love that. Be wabi-sabi. And if you Google wabi-sabi, I love that you see, because you go to Asia and you do see the imperfections in the statues, that just makes them more perfect in some way.
It's more beautiful. It really is.
And even people that wear scars on their body or their birthmarks, and you know, it's quote unquote imperfect or sense. I have discoloration on my skin when I tan, and I like totally embrace it.
Oh, that is awesome. I think like our society is slowly moving in the direction of thinking everything is beautiful, even if it's like different. And I love that. I love seeing all the freckled models coming out.
Yes. Love the freckles. Like, where now they
represent. Yes. Represent, you know?
And the gap teeth. I'm all about that.
Well, it's all about real people. And I love being able to see real people because you know what? We're all beautiful. We are all beautiful and imperfect. And it like matters so much to see that represented in like campaigns and things like that. It's so beautiful.
I agree. It makes me so happy. I'm so happy. What is your favorite breakfast?
Oh my goodness. Well, I drink juice. So probably something like watermelon juice.
Ooh, yes. I love watermelon juice. Okay. So since you're a YouTuber, do you happen to have a favorite YouTuber one that might be part of your community, and two, any YouTuber that is not in your community, but you watch for pure entertainment, if you even watch YouTube? I don't know.
Okay. So I have to be honest. Let's see. I love Robert Greenfield.
Rob Greenfield. I don't know who that is.
He has an amazing YouTube channel. He talks about living a more sustainable life. He talks about, right now he's doing like a 365 day challenge where he only forages his own food.
Wow.
He's growing his own food in Florida. Wow. And he is searching everything. And it's really, really interesting to see. And he actually just did this thing on Instagram. And it was really, he does things to get in people's faces. It's really, really cool in a way, but it makes you think. And I really love it because it shakes you up inside some of it. It makes you realize that there are parts of you that you didn't realize had a problem with something before. And then you get to like face that and acknowledge it. I think that's like him inadvertently doing that to me, but I really like it. He like posted this photo of him eating roadkill, to be honest. And it really like made me think about things because it makes you triggered in a way.
Yeah.
And then you're like, why am I triggered by this? And yeah, it made me realize that, you know, it's hard for me sometimes as a vegan. Yeah. But then I realized, wait a second, what he's actually doing by eating roadkill, that's sustainable. That is an accident. He's not paying someone to kill something. He is getting it locally. Like, that is pretty, like, he's facing it, you know? And I think that's a good thing. If you're going to eat something, like, he did it in a really sustainable way. But it's, like, it is triggering. So I actually, I like him because he does trigger stuff.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. It makes me think about the way I see things. And it makes me realize, just really, it's really interesting. I don't know what to actually say about it, but it's just interesting. And so besides him, I like Philip DeFranco, who's really not in my community, but he has a really cool take on the news. And he takes like, I don't know, 15 minutes and breaks down the news. And so I say I don't watch mainstream news, but I watch Philip DeFranco every now and then.
Right, to like keep updated. I get that. And Robert Greenfield sounds like such a perfect teacher. So does Philip DeFranco. Both of them are great teachers. Is he like more of a comedian?
Oh, who? Philip DeFranco? He's huge. He has like millions of subs. He's like way up there. And I think he was one of the original first YouTubers. And he really honed in on his craft. He is really good. And he is, I guess he provides a different way of viewing the news. So he'll be like, this is a situation going on. You can either see it this way or this way. This is my take on it. And he's very upfront about it. So instead of it being like completely one-sided, he explores all aspects usually, or says, this is the only information I've been given about this. Take it at what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I like when people do that.
Yeah, I find it more honest than mainstream news channels on the TV. So he's limited by what he knows. He fully acknowledges that. And he's limited by his own perspective. And so he says, like, this is what the information is. Take it with what you want, you know, take what you want from it. This is my perspective on it. What do you think? And so, yeah, I really like that. He always passes the question off to you, as he says, and you like can talk about it in the comment section of the YouTube channel. And so I just think that makes a difference in our world a bit, because we have so many mainstream news channels telling us what to think and giving us a very limited view on things. So I think it's better to have an unbiased sort of look on things. And I don't know, like, you can't say he's completely unbiased,
because
he does give his perspective, but I find he's more honest, you know?
Yeah. See, I totally respect that. Yeah. I will check that out, because I'm so resistant to the news, but at the same time, I do what I can to be aware of what's going on in the world, because I don't want to be completely naive to it, because I mean, we've got to be the change makers if we want to see a change. So, but I can't deal with the news. That's why you know, as much as I love my parents, I just can't be in the house because they just have the news blasted.
My
mom watches Fox and my dad watches CNN.
you know, there's so much negativity. I find that the media thrives off negativity. When you have something bad going on, people are instantly drawn to it. They want to know what's happening. They want to know all this stuff. But that negativity creates negativity in you. What I found happened is it changed my outlook of the world. And I'm really a very positive person. I get happiness out of like small cups of tea, like seriously. But it was changing my outlook of the world and making me fearful of not only other people, but areas. And so I find that's driven by the news, because they'll be like, it's unsafe here, or this is unsafe, or this is happening. They talk about like a lot of negative stuff, like shootings in schools and places like that. But that doesn't, and it made me fearful. It started making me scared. And then I was like, I took a step back. I'm like, listen, just because it's all over the news doesn't mean that there aren't good people in this world doing good things. Mm-hmm. And so I like to focus my attention, not like I'm like the Amazon is burning. Mm-hmm. And so I understand this, but I want to focus on what we can do to help the situation,
yeah,
not on just the negativity of the situation, you know? So I see the Amazon as having woken up a lot of people. More people are conscious now about what's going on, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that's amazing. I choose to focus on the positive of the situation and what we can do to help the world. And so, yeah, I that's what I take.
And you are truly doing your part. I mean, I so honor you for everything that you spread is magical and helpful and is going to shift wonders and is shifting wonders. And, you know, you're really enlightening people.
I'm just an imperfect person. I'm just, you know, trying to give people little bits of stuff they can do in their everyday life to be a bit more conscious.
Hell yeah. I love that. I love that. Now, the universe gave you billboards at absolutely no cost. So they were free for you to share just one message across the main highways in major cities all around the world. So what would these billboards read?
Oh man, this is like, it just popped into my head when you were saying that. And I could like suppress it and say, no, it's going to say this scientific fact or like this message, but I'm going to just say it now. I really think that the billboards should say, love yourself. I think there is a lack of love out there towards just people's selves. We are bombarded with so much negativity, like I said, and the strive for perfectionism in our society, and people just don't love themselves enough. And that's where a lot of hate stems from. That's where a lot of fear stems from. That's where a lot of just not being yourself stems from. And I understand this because the world is scary, but if we all loved ourselves a bit more, we would love our earth more. We would love each other more. We all have to love ourselves in order to heal ourselves enough to love other people and help this world.
Ah, oh, yes.
Love yourself.
Love yourself. And then the last question that I ask all the Your Own Magic guests, how would you advise the Your Own Magic listeners to create their own magic?
Oh, get dirty.
Yes, I love that.
Get dirty, stay magical. Peace is my thing that I say on my YouTube channel as like a sign out. And yeah, I think people need to get dirty. Mm-hmm. And that's how you kind of stay magical. Go out there, get your feet dirty, go walk around barefoot, create something magical in your kitchen, get dirty. Like, we don't get dirty enough. We're afraid of messes. I don't know. I have other people or other parents talk to me about how, like, am I scared that my kids are going to make a mess, or, oh, the food is all over the floor and she's like, you know, your 13-month-old is eating it and like she's creating such a mess all over herself. And you know, the thing is, we're so scared of messes. We're so scared to get dirty in our society. Like, getting dirty is natural.
Yeah.
It is okay. And by getting dirty, you are being creative, because obviously you're doing something creative to get dirty. It is okay to be dirty.
Yeah.
Have a bath at night, you'll be okay. But get dirty, because it puts you out there to be more creative. And by being more creative, you are becoming more magical and more connected to our earth and more connected to the higher consciousness and your consciousness and other people. It's all interconnected. Got to get dirty to get into it.
I love that answer so, so much. Oh my gosh. Plus, I mean, let's be honest. We're all pretty messy, dirty people on the inside anyways. So
exactly. It's just reflecting your inner truth. Being.
Yeah.
And it is okay to be dirty. It's okay to be messy. It is okay to be imperfect. That's just the way you are as a person. The sooner you embrace it and start loving that part of yourself, the sooner we can fix our world.
Hell,
a lot of pain out there in the world, we can fix it just by loving ourselves more.
Yeah, you got to just start with the one person that you are, which is you individually.
Exactly. Yeah.
Where can everyone find you and connect with you?
Okay. I am on Instagram at The Fairly Local Vegan, and I have a website, which is thefairlylocalvegan.com. And I have a YouTube channel, which is just The Fairly Local Vegan. And I upload a video every Friday, and you can find my videos there, and you can find my ebooks on my website. And again, I have another ebook coming out before December, all about being zero waste and low waste and being a rebel in this mainstream society, how you can be a rebel. Because I always sign on to my videos with, hello, my beautiful rebel. So I'm all about being a rebel, being a beautiful rebel, embracing that aspect of you. And yeah, the world needs more rebels. Become a rebel.
I love that you call your audience rebels. I mean, everyone is. And so that just like fit, that is so fitting. I love it. And also I'm going to put all of that in the show notes for everybody too, of course, because I really want them to easily find you and connect with you and watch your amazing videos, because you have so much great insight. There's a reason why you're a lot of people's go-to person when it comes to this low waste, zero waste movement, minimalist, just mindful veganism, because you're so relatable. You give us permission to be ourselves. And because, you know, there's a lot of people that need to show perfection when they post, but you make it so messy.
I'm an imperfect, dirty person. My kids are themselves. I don't like showing like a perfect life because I don't have that. And I don't want to further that message in the world. Like, I could edit my videos into some perfect, nice little constructed, I don't know, video, but I would rather have an imperfect, nicely edited. I do nicely edit my videos, but they're just like, I want to show the mess. I want to show what that, you know, zero waste or low waste is dirty. I want to show that I'm just a person, and that is pretty much it. Like, I am what I show. Like, people met me. I actually went to a speaking event in Toronto last week, and I had some people come up to me who recognized me, and they're like, oh my goodness, you're the same in person. Yeah, I'm the same in person. There is like, I don't have to worry about having a persona online and having one offline, because it's just me. I don't have to like, I don't have to keep track of anything. This is just all me.
You are just you. I love it. And I love the person you are, the human you are, the soul you are, everything you've created. I'm so thankful to be connected with you. And also, when your book comes out, you'll have to come back on if it feels right for you, because you're more than welcome anytime, because this really lit me up. And I just, there's something about you. There's something about you, Amber.
Thank you so much. It's so nice to connect to you. You're so passionate. You're so grounded. I love it. You are absolutely amazing. I love what you are doing. Just so much kindness, so much love, and so much light. You're amazing.
You're amazing. Really.
Yomies, that is a wrap. I hope this episode was expanding for you in some way, shape, or form. Feel free to visit our site at yourownmagic.com or check out my shop, eyesofaspen.com. Connect with the other Your Own Magic listeners. We would love to see more conversations started on the Your Own Magic Facebook group. So with all that being said, thank you so much again for tuning in, and I hope you have a magical rest of your day.